You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Welcome to our house. So if nobody else is wishing you a happy Valentine's Day, we certainly will. It's your tribal Valentine. How about that? Yep. But I have a bone to pick with Valentine's Day. Yeah, it's gender specific. Great onus on things you hear women say that you don't hear men say. What do you get you for Valentine's Day? Yeah, you're a guy, you walk into a bar someplace, you walk up to your friends. Nobody says, hey, what'd your wife get you today? So, I think in the sake of... the thrust of equal pay for equal work. Opening up all combat arms to women. Yeah. Time for you women to start ponying up. What did you get us today? And you know, I've been thinking about this. Muslims view... a Valentine's Day. I don't like it. Every day's a Valentine's Day with me. Yeah, that ain't true. I don't like that attitude either. But I believe it should be a joint celebration of love. Yeah, I don't like that it's like the onus is on a guy to prove to me that you love me by buying something expensive. What kind of bullshit is that? Yeah, it's my house. Anyway, good morning to you. Yes, I'm out to reform Valentine's Day. I have to tell you, and I'm going to be extremely candid, I have a black blood issue, and this is bad because it's stereotyping, but when I see that girl... acting like an asshole who's elected, right? The Muslim girl, and I see her, the shit she talks. I have to tell you that I have to shut that off. I do. That stuff bothers me. You know, that stuff bothers me. So I'll start that. If you haven't seen the interview with Andrew McCabe, you need to watch it because it'll scare the living shit out of you. Honestly, what went on inside the FBI of this country, to me, is straight up out of like, you know, some kind of Orwellian movie. You have an FBI that's detached from the Justice Department, an FBI where you have officials that are making decisions based on their own personal views, and I don't care what Andrew McCabe said. There, when you take an oath, there's a way that you do all of that stuff. And it's just, he gave an interview to CBS, and you're sitting there watching it going, holy shit, man. And yesterday, when the Roundtable brothers were on, the Roundhead brothers were on, you know, we're talking about that. You know, in my opinion, that stuff wasn't hard. You know, the head of the FBI, but these are the games that James Comey played. Right? And at that level, at some point, you simply have to be blunt with people, and then resign your post. It's not like you're not going to get another job, for God's sakes. So, I mean, to me, the FBI, organizations in crisis, U.S. Special Operations Command, organization in crisis. Okay, all you got to do is look at all the trials, and look, those are the trials, right? That you're seeing. Imagine what, you know, people reviewed and said, yeah, that doesn't need to go to trial. So anyway, yeah, the audio from Andrew McCabe is, and I don't know if we'll have time for me to play some of it this morning, but it is absolutely stunning. You have espionage in the news from the United States Air Force, staff sergeant, born and raised in Louisiana, involved in counterintelligence work in the Air Force, now is living in Iran after defecting and betraying her country. So, talk about that a little bit. You have the situation in military housing, which we're going to start doing some content about. The black mold. And the thing that pisses me off the most that I read is that, so you're moving out. There's no stains on your carpet. Somebody pulls out a black light and says, oh, no, that. What? Yeah, now you owe us $600 because we have to replace the carpet. What? And so where? What recourse do I have? Who do I go? Who do I appeal this to? Sorry, there is no, you know, shit like that. Really? So, anywho, that's in the news, and the situation. Now, people have been banging that drum for a long time, but it goes nowhere. It goes nowhere. So, yesterday, we'll see where it ultimately goes. So, that's in the news today. There's a few other stories that are pretty interesting. The Navy's trying to create a university. A Blue Angel pilot suspended, which is the second issue in a week for high-performance demonstrations teams, as the first female Viper team pilot, right, was relieved of command 2 weeks ago in the Air Force. Yeah, Captain Zoe Kotnick, due to a loss of confidence in her ability to lead. She had that job for 2 weeks. No sooner had the dusts begun to settle on all the great articles written about her as, this is awesome, the first woman to do this, then she was relieved. So, you have that going for you. And then a whole series of stories in Early Bird. NATO, now that the United States is withdrawn from the Intermediate Range Missile Treaty, that NATO is going to... ramp up their missile production. And this is a fight that the Russians can't win because they don't have the money. The Pentagon's national military strategy is done, and it's unclear if the public will ever see it. Interesting. Another article by Jeff Zizulowitz, who you've heard on this program, talking about the Navy. As Navy pledges surface reforms, some ask for proof of improvement. It's called the Reagan Theory. Trust but verify. Here's another article. Here's what damage the Leyte Gulf suffered when it touched sterns with another ship. What? the guided missile cruiser departed Norfolk on January 25th to participate in composite unit training with the Lincoln Carrier Strike Group. Yeah. So that in it is, we'll talk about that. And then a war crimes trial for a U.S. Navy SEAL was postponed for 3 months. We'll talk about that. Not a whole lot of Marine Corps news. And so, anyway, a year ago today, at Marjorie Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, we all kind of watched and, as students were shot and killed in their high school. And you had, probably most vivid for me was, the comments of Andrew Pollock. And, he's been in the news already this morning as they commemorate a year later the events of that morning when his daughter, Meadow, was killed as she shielded another friend from gunfire. And as the law enforcement personnel on the campus stood outside and did nothing. So this is Andrew Pollock as a reminder to stay involved in the security apparatus for your kids at their schools, that you should ask questions about it. You should find out, is there anybody with a weapon any place near the school that can stop this? Because so many schools are content to roll the dice with the lives of your children. Yep, with the lives of your children. Because, you know, security costs money, and, you know, if we do that, we're not going to be able to give the teachers the raise. And, you know, it's probably not going to happen. So you're willing to bet that it doesn't happen because of the cost. And if you do that, then you're not going to be able to do this, 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 and this. Well, we don't like to put it in those exact terms, but exactly. So, this is Andrew Pollock from not a year ago, but that day, but the president subsequently held a kind of a, I don't want to call it a summit, but he held a meeting. And there was people that had been involved in the Marjorie Douglas thing and other school shootings, and they came to the White House. And he stood up and said this.
We're here because my daughter has no voice. She was murdered last week, and she was taken from us. Shot 9 times on the 3rd floor. We, as a country, failed our children. This shouldn't happen. We go to the airport. I can't get on a plane with a bottle of water, but we leave it. Some animal could walk into a school and shoot our children. It's just not right, and we need to come together as a country and work on what's important, and that's protecting our children in the schools. That's the only thing that matters right now. Everyone has to come together and not think about different wars. We need to come together as a country, not different parties, and figure out how we protect the schools. It's simple. It's not difficult. We protect airports. We protect concerts, stadiums, embassies, the Department of Education that I walked in today that has a security guard in the elevator. How do you think that makes me feel? In the elevator, they got a security guard. I'm very angry that this happened, because it keeps happening. 9/11 happened once, and they fixed everything. How many schools, how many children have to get shot? It stops here with this administration and me. I'm not gonna sleep until it's fixed. And Mr. President, we're going to fix it, because I'm going to fix it. I'm not going to rest. And look, at my boys need to live with this. I want to see everyone. You guys look at this. Me, I'm a man, but to see your children go through this, bury their sister, So we, that's what I keep saying this, because I want it to sink in. Not forget about this. We can't forget about it. All the school shootings. It doesn't make sense. Fix it. Should have been one school shooting and we should have fixed it. And I'm pissed. Because my daughter I'm not going to see again. She's not here. She's not here. She's in North Lauderdale at whatever it is, King David Cemetery. That's where I go to see my kid now. And it stops. We all work together and come up with the right idea. And it's school safety. It's not about gun laws right now. That's another fight, another battle. Let's fix the schools, and then you guys can battle it out whatever you want. But we need our children safe. Monday, tomorrow, whatever day it is, your kids are going to go to school. You think everyone's kids are safe? I didn't think it was going to happen to me. If I knew it, I would have been at the school every day if I knew it was that dangerous. It's enough. Let's get together, work with the president, and fix the schools. That's it. No other discussions. Security, whatever we have to do. Get the right people, the consultants. These are our commodities. I'm never going to see my kid again. I want you all to know that. Never, ever will I see my kid. That's how. I want it to sink in. It's eternity. My beautiful daughter, I'm never going to see again. And it's simple. It's not, we could fix it.
I don't think that the elected officials of this country, and I don't mean like national elected, I don't think that community people, I don't think they hear that. I don't think they hear the anger enough. Like when he says, and I'm pissed, right? And I'm pissed, right? They need to hear that more. They absolutely, positively need to hear that more. Because let me tell you the decision that they make. And I'll just give you my experience. I went down, I talked to the principal of high school. I went to a meeting at the high school. They told me you should go talk to the school board. So I went to the school board meeting. I waited till the end of a meeting, and I got up, and I introduced myself. I told them my background. I told them why I was there. And I told them they had a moral responsibility before anything happened in their school district to make sure it was safe. And I don't mean repair the fences. Okay? Because if somebody wants to come into your school with a weapon, they're going to come in. Do you have an armed response at or near every school that can prevent something like that from happening? Or would you make a decision that you think the threat is so low that you're willing to roll the dice and not provide that level of security? But just for the record, there was security at the school board meeting, just so you know. So that you will do for yourself, will you at least do that for my daughter? The answer to that was no. We're looking into it, right? We're looking into it. And that's where it stands. So my responsibility as a father and as a member of this community is to continually remind them that they're failing and wish them all the best of luck, because that's what they are. That's what they're pinning the lives of the students of their community. Oh, well, we repaired the fence at Ben Franklin Elementary School. Bullshit, man. What stops somebody with a gun? Another person with a gun. And you may not like that, right? But that's the way it is. So, anyway, their pain, right? I mean, we talk about it in post-traumatic wing. You're never getting over it. God has not invented the amount of time to heal the wounds that those people have. And the only thing that they can do is use their experience to touch the lives of others. And that's all that's there. That's all that's there. And so, did the nation listen? Good question. Good question. Or did that issue simply get hijacked by the NRA and the gun argument across the country? We're not talking about the gun argument across the country. Because let me tell you, the other glaring issue in all of this is that kid who did the shooting, that idiot, right? The only thing he didn't do is set his house on fire and say, hey, I'm going to go kill somebody. Everybody, look at me. Hey, right? 44 different times the police responded to a call, either about the house or, I mean, you read that. It's disgusting. Did nobody think, oh, he's got a right? He's got a right. He's got a right. So, and if you can't prevent that one, then what in God's name can you prevent? Nothing? Nothing. So, anyway. United States Marine Corps band makes it official. Good morning to you. Dedicated to a couple groups of people. One are people like Andrew Pollock, and obviously our thoughts and prayers are with those families and the pain that they live with every day. And we, as a tribe that is no stranger to pain, we feel your pain, and you're in our thoughts and our prayers today. And the other group are the people around the country, military families, that are fighting this bullshit with housing agencies that have taken over military housing. And depending on who's running the show, either suck or are okay. And it's just wrong. It's wrong that military members, 55% had an unfavorable impression in the latest poll. Then you had a whole series of choices, right? Only 15% had a positive impression, right? So that's 85 either with no opinion or a negative opinion. That's not good. And then what recourse do you have? Can you withhold your rent payment? No, you can't do that. That's not allowed. So it was front and center yesterday. So this is dedicated to both of those groups of people. Hang in there, and we're thinking about you.
Thank you. betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directly.
I need to make a comment. You know what? I listen to this every day, and I like it. Except whoever edited this shit, that special effect that it overpowers the audio, that person ought to be slapped across the face.
And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech.
That makes me laugh every time I hear it.
But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran, but, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. We are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time to check the weather. Currently, it is sunny and 41 in Quantico. Sunny and 55 at Camp Lejeune. Granbury, Texas, clouds at 58, so warm back up in Texas. 29 Palms, it is raining at 45 degrees. Pendleton, 59 degrees, boom. And raining at Camp Pendleton with 7 weather advisories. How about that? So you know what that means. We got to check that shit out. 7, that's an all-time All Marine Radio record. I think, I don't remember, Camp Lejeune, like 5 or 6. Flood advisory at Camp Pendleton. Airport weather warning in the area. Flash flood watch in the area. River flood warning. And a small craft advisory. So there you have it. Wind, flood, airport, flood, small craft. Legit right there, sports fans. All right, so that's at Pendleton. Okinawa is cloudy and 67. In the Alambar province of Iraq, it is dark, cloudy, and 61, so it's warmed up there a little bit. and in the Helmand province of Afghanistan, the home of Task Force Southwest, Clear Dark in 47, at the home of All Marine Radio, 5 weather warnings. How about that? What is going on in Southern California, man? I have to tell you this. I've never seen the weather be like this for this long in Southern California in my life. And I've lived here off and on for a long time. I've never seen the weather this cold, this rainy for this long. Change in the jet stream I saw. Whatever the hell that means. Flash flood statement. I'm not sure what that means. I know flash flood warnings. I know flash flood watches. I don't know flash flood statement. All right. Wind advisory, flash flood watch means if there's no R in the word, it doesn't mean it's real yet. So it's telling you to be careful. It might happen. Okay. And the way you can remember that is C in the word watch. There's an R in the word warning, which means it's real. It's happening. Okay. It is in fact happening. So when you see a tornado warning, that means somebody spotted a funnel cloud. When you see a flood warning, it means it is flooding. How about that? Because I care. That's right. A little bit of weather insight, right, for all you really smart people out there. Ways to remember. Watch, warning, I can't get them straight. The C in watch means be careful. Okay. The R in warning means it's real. Looking for rain showers in 60 degrees today. I'm sorry, rain in 62 today. Tomorrow, rain in 60. And then on Saturday, sunny in 59. Like when the sun comes out in Southern California, it is not 59 degrees. That's not the way we do it here. So global warming. Look, I don't really care about global warming until it impacts my life. Okay. And now it's impacting my life. So we'll take a quick break. There's a ton of news to get to, and so we'll come back and we will do that. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Mac, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi. I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Here's an email entitled Laughing Out Loud. On my way to work, I was re-listening to the Jeff and Tim show, the roundtable we did yesterday, as I missed parts during the business hour. Great stuff. I was laughing out loud in my Honda. While they may be stained with the prior E label, yeah, both are prior enlisted, I'm the only purebred officer in the group. Exactly. I live without that stain. I live without that scourge. They are woke when it comes to politics. That means that Ohio man agrees with their perspective, their black helicopter chartering perspective. And I have to admit, though, after watching Andy McCabe, did he forget how the government's organized? That as a law enforcement branch, his job is not to initiate, right? His job is to do what he's told. It's how we don't have a police state in this country. I mean, honestly, you read it, it's jaw-droppingly stunning. And I don't care if I agree with him, politically or not. He and McKay, Comey, I mean, they're idiots, honestly. They didn't understand their role in the government. And when you put your hand up and say, I can no longer do this, I want to speak my mind, and I'm going to resign. So, anyway, let me read you one other email, just in the midst of a lot of bad news. I got, these things happen to me now out of the blue on a daily basis, right? That's why I'm the coolest guy you know. Email yesterday from a Marine. Sir, can you send me the goals and commandments? Government computers would not let me pull down the document. I want to drop that on our battalion level force preservation council today. I think it would help with where we are as a battalion. Keep doing the post-traumatic winning. I used some of it with a chaplain who was having major personal stuff going on, and it, quote, hit with a thud, unquote. Unsolicited, boom, drops into my email yesterday. So I obviously sent that Marine the information, the two goals and eight commandments. And then he emailed me back. I just handed the 2 and 8 to a corporal who had suicidal ideations while we were at ITX a few months ago. And I have one other Lance Corporal who I'm going to give it to as well. I'm seriously thinking about putting in the duty binder for my duty NCOs. And then he talked about, I was talking about, while you're doing all this, really, again, if you subscribe to, right, this little piece of audio, okay? Now, everybody pay attention. It may not happen. But I'll get it. So the whole premise is this piece of audio. I should say the whole premise, but there's a whole series of minor premises. If you believe what happened at the Hanoi Hilton is real, okay? If you believe that this study is valid, then what it means for us as leaders is we have a huge role to play in all of this. And I actually called this guy yesterday. Stand by.
So one thing, at the end of this exercise today, and maybe in the next 2-3 years, I want all of you to be actually as informed as Julie is about all this.
This is Dr. Trebetti, right? He's a medical doctor. He's doing work in Texas. And they developed software that general practitioners use to screen patients for symptoms of depression so it can be encountered and dealt with early. Right? Listen to what he has to say about what they found. 40,000 people in the study.
She is absolutely right. So our screening is really universal screening. If you, what traditionally happens in primary care is people...
Universal means everybody, for all you menses out there.
People wait, and the patient either complains or starts crying or is suicidal is when they screen. That is not called screening, because then it's too late. So what this is, we are primary care practices are universally screening. Every patient coming into the clinic get screened for depression, and that is how you identify whether they need to have further monitoring or not, and that is the 12 to 15% of patients. Once they get screened positive, then they get routine measurement at every treatment occasion to monitor their outcomes, and if the patients have significant need for psychiatry, they are referred, and that has been really less than 1% of the population. Because there is, like hypertension, nobody actually, or headache, imagine if for headache everybody wanted to go to see a neurosurgeon, you couldn't find any. That is what we do with depression. Instead, what we are changing the paradigm so that most patients who can be treated in primary care get treated there, and then those who need to go to psychiatry or psychotherapy, then they go there.
So 1% need that. 1%. And if you can extrapolate that data into other mental health issues, not illnesses, issues, and everybody's got issues, then what does that mean? It means there's a huge role for everybody to play. So anyway, those kind of emails I get every day. People making a difference, stepping into that gap, and sitting down and having a conversation with somebody and telling them, there's nothing wrong with you. You're okay. You're struggling like the rest of us, and that's okay. What? Are you a therapist? Yes, I am a therapist. Yes, I am. I'm your therapist. That's what I am. All right, let's do it. We're going to check out the news. But again, I have the coolest job in the world. Air Force technical sergeant who defected to Iran charged with spying. A former Air Force counterintelligence specialist, a technical sergeant who defected to Iran about 5 years after leaving the Air Force, has been charged with revealing classified information as well as research about her colleagues to representatives of the government of Tehran, prosecutors said on Wednesday. Justice Department indictment charges former Air Force technical sergeant Monica Efreid Witt, who defected in 2013 and is currently at large, along with four Iranian hackers who prosecutors say use the information she provided to target former colleagues in the U.S. intelligence community. The indictment says that the four Iranians were acting on behalf of the Iranian government, linked to the Iranian Revolutionary Guards. All four remained at large. She was born in El Paso, Texas, joined the Air Force in 1997, served as an airborne cryptolinguist, blah, 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 blah. Her last assignment before separating as a staff sergeant or technical sergeant, whatever they call him in the Air Force, on June 12, 2008, was with the 2nd Field Investigation Squadron, Joint Base Andrews in Maryland. So congratulations to her. You're a loser. All right. The other story that was huge in the news yesterday, and again, if you've been around, I mean, this, you read these stories, it seems like on a consistent basis. All right. Black mold, rodents, lead paint, and privatized housing. No rent until it's fixed, military spouses say. Military spouses suggested to lawmakers one immediate way for starters to fix problems like mold, lead paint, termites, mice, and other issues in privatized military housing. Allow families to withhold rent payments until issues are resolved. How do you do that? I have to go down, and I have a hearing, not with the housing people, but with some military official that says, I've got a problem, they're not responsive, we're not paying our rent. And he looks, or she looks, and says, that's valid. All right? Boom. No money for you. Spouses testified before senators Wednesday, then watched as senators grilled company officials and DOD and service officials about the problems. All the officials admitted there have been breakdowns in the system and assured senators that they were making commitments to address the systemic problem. Right. Then why doesn't it ever get fixed? Why doesn't it? And what are you talking about? I mean, most of the base housing now is pretty nice. So you give it to a private company, and they do shit like they roll around and tell you what you can put on the outside of your house. Hey, you can't have that. You can't have that. Hey, fix the housing. Spouses testified about their difficulties in getting the company to take their own complaint seriously. Even as black mold was growing out of walls, floors, and ceilings, and entire families were getting sick. There were also difficulties determining who, if anyone, in the military establishment was holding the companies accountable. The families are left with no recourse. Listen to this shit. Quote, I first became aware of the crisis level military housing issues at Keesler Air Force Base, where termites fell out of light fixtures onto our beds, said Marine wife Crystal Cornwall. She said the housing office at Keesler in Mississippi told her that termites in her home are to be expected because of the region. What? She goes on. At Camp Pendleton, we live with pervasive mold issues and unjustifiable move-out charges. She said they were charged $700 for carpet replacement. The housing representative used a black light and moisture stick to find stains unseen by the naked eye. When I disputed the validity of these charges, I found no path to resolution with the housing company, Camp Pendleton, or my husband's former command. Yeah. But again, the problem with this stuff is that it's gone on and on and on. And so everybody played the part yesterday. Right? Here are the problems. Right? The elected officials are outraged. The vendors are apologetic, and nothing gets done. Here's a cool story from the Belleville News Democrat via the Associated Press. In a matter of seconds, Tristan Walsh went from being really mad at his mom to thinking she was the best mom in the world. Julie Walsh had told the Millstadt, Illinois teenager in December of 2018 that she had sold a 1994 Bronco that belonged to his father, Nick, a Marine sergeant who was killed in Iraq 12 years ago. But she was actually conspiring with a local car dealership to have the vehicle restored for his 16th birthday. More than 100 people, including a military color guard, gathered in the Mertz Ford showroom on January 26th to see the staff present Tristan Walsh with the shiny red vehicle with tan trim. They erupted in cheers when he climbed in the driver's seat and started the engine. Quote, it just means so much to me, said Tristan, who wiped away tears with his shirt sleeve. I'm really happy that I'm able to have a piece of my dad left with me. After the big surprise, family and friends celebrated Tristan's birthday with a patriotic theme dessert table at the dealership, which was red, white, and blue. Nick's official military portrait was on display on an easel, along with his dress uniform, a sign listed at the automotive suppliers that donated parts for the restoration. It was overwhelmingly sweet, said Julie's cousin, Carrie Van Hosser, 44, of Troy, Illinois. The look on his face was priceless. Makes me sad that his dad wasn't here to see it. He's a sophomore at Belleville West High School, turned 16 on January 26. But he's not getting his driver's license until February. He was 4 years old when his father was killed in a 2007 sniper attack in Fallujah. One of their last adventures was a road trip from Colorado to California in the Bronco, just the two of them. And then the rest of the story is the how pissed he was when his mom said that she got rid of the truck. Tristan and his brother Tanner, who's now 12, who was just born after his, when his father deployed, had always expected to inherit the vehicle when they were old enough to drive. They were furious when it disappeared from the garage one day last December. This is from the mother. He said, "Where's my dad's truck?" said Julie, 39, a stay-at-home mom who also has two daughters. And I was like, "Well, kiddo, I had someone come out and look at it, and it's going to cost way too much to fix, so I sold it. I'm going to use the money to buy you a better car." He stormed upstairs to his room, spent the better part of 2 weeks giving his mother the silent treatment. So she had it, she had it fixed. It's a pretty cool article. You'll find it in Marine Corps Times today. The other thing I have to tell you is that, like, when this stuff happens, how touching it is when, you know, there's a color guard there. A friend of mine, Ben Lunick, who you've heard on the program, he lost a leg in Ramadi in 2006. And he came on to tell the story, that he became a police officer after, to think it took him 5 years total from when he decided that's what he wanted to do. So he's an amputee. He's got to pass the physical. He had to get his finances in order. He had to pass the test. He had to pay off his debt, right? So all that took time. So anyway, at the ceremony that where he's going to be given his badge, the ceremony stops. And he had had a conversation with a Marine, a major, I think, maybe on recruiting duty. And Ben had said that he had never received his combat action ribbon, which is the ribbon in the Marine Corps, for those of you who don't know. Anyway, it's a big deal. So Ben, he didn't think anything else of it. As he's getting ready to come on stage, they stop the ceremony. Right? Marines roll out on stage. Right? Attention to orders. And they present him with his combat action ribbon, and then he's presented with his badge. He said, "One of the great days of my life." I mean, that kind of stuff always, for whatever reason, touches me. That people, you know, in our culture go that far out of their way to make stuff like that happen. So at some point, I should get whoever did that on. Another headline. We've talked about this a lot. Right. And most recently, the Navy did a study and one of the assistant secretaries of the Navy said, "Yeah, there's nothing to see here. There's no problem." Another story, how the Navy plans to deal with drug use and war crimes allegations in the SEAL community. Rear Admiral Colin Green shook hands with Rear Admiral Tim Siminski after relieving him as commander of Naval Special Warfare Command at Naval Amphibious Base Coronado on September 7th. Pointing to a series of high-profile scandals and ongoing war crimes trial, Naval Special Warfare Commander Rear Admiral Colin Green told an audience at the U.S. Naval Institute's West 2019 convention here in San Diego that he's commissioned a 90-day review to explore, quote, what we're doing in the schoolhouse, what we're not doing, and what we're not doing relative to leader development and hard ethical decisions, combat ethics, and seeing if we're addressing that. Green's statements came after Task and Purpose reporter Paul Soldra asked what the command was doing. Soldra had been a guest, right? He's a duffel blog guy. To respond to reports of SEALs failing your analysis test for drug abuse and being charged for war crimes. The SEAL leader was participating in a panel about military readiness, and the session's moderator, retired Vice Admiral James Zortman, tried to shoot the question down. But Green agreed it was an important issue for his community of special operators, and he didn't flinch from addressing it. Quote, we're looking hard as a learning organization to self-assess, to see if we are assessing and selecting the right people, and if we're holding them accountable. Green said that the review will include, quote, hard discussions, and he pointed to a grueling tempo of operations SEALs have faced since September 11, 2001. We've been at war for 17 years. So anyway, interesting. And, you know, also, I will say this. Rather than allowing him, you know, Admiral Drun to entertain the question, you know, the moderator feels like they have to step in, right, and shoot the question down. Why not? Isn't the truth important? And that's why, honestly, that's why you don't see general officers sit in those panels, right? Because they don't want to answer questions like that. You know, they don't want to answer questions like that. And that's the truth. SecNav is launching a naval university, right? Education for Sea Power campaign he's launching, right? When it's finished, Spencer hopes his program will combine the education efforts for enlisted and officer personnel under a single department of the Navy at a Navy university that's accredited to grant diplomas from associate degrees up to advanced postgraduate work. I am convinced, now more than ever, that the intellectual development of our naval leaders is the most critical warfighting capability for our national security, he wrote in a memo on February 5th, Spencer, a former Marine. To achieve this, I intend to create a naval university system. Whoa, kind of like Marine Corps University? Oh, I didn't say that. I was just thinking of that. Navy confirms mysterious Blue Angel suspension. Really, this is just not, this is a nothing burger. A pilot involved, not a numbered pilot, which means you're part of the first string. One of the backup pilots got suspended. But they linked this to the story, the cryptic story about the, I think she's a lieutenant colonel. No, she's a captain. What? First female Viper team. This is for the Air Force. Demo pilot relieved of command because of loss of confidence. So, All right, a few other headlines. After Trump's treaty withdrawal, NATO is getting ready for Russia with a lot more missiles. And again, Russia will lose that fight or die spending a lot of money trying to. As sexual assault cases rise, service academy superintendents struggle for solutions. Right? That is an ongoing issue across the country at every college. So the naval academies, the service academies are no different. The Pentagon's national military strategy is done. It's unclear if the public will see it. The 2018 national military strategy was approved by General Dunford in December and submitted to the Secretary of Defense and Congress in accordance with statutory requirements, said Colonel Patrick Ryder, Dunford's spokesman, in response to a question from the Defense News. The strategy is classified to enable the chairman to fully assess the joint force operating environment and provide unfettered military advice in support of the 2018 National Defense Strategy. An unclassified version is not currently available. Whoa. How about that? Trying to keep a secret. This is Jeff Zulowitz. As Navy pledges surface reforms, some ask for proof of improvement. It's nice when you say that you love me. It's better when you show me. Yeah, there's some advice on Valentine's Day. Navy leaders again pledged Wednesday that the reforms in the service fleet are taking hold, but the data proving this improvement will take years to play out. Quote, I would like to see specific data on where we stand with issues like certification of sailors and personnel on ships, maintenance status of ships, training rules, staffing levels, and I want real numbers, Senator Angus King, Democrat from Maine, told U.S. Indo-Pacific Command Head Admiral Phil Davidson, I don't want generals we're working on staffing or we're working on more training. Davidson told King that while there were two fatal ship collisions that killed 17 sailors in 2017, 280-odd other ships weren't having collisions. Okay. So does that mean it didn't happen, Admiral? During a conference panel on Wednesday, Rear Admiral Ronald Boxall, Director of Surface Warfare, said the Navy has been very, very open regarding the reform efforts. We're not talking about how hard you're trying. We're talking about results. We have a very tight communications path back to the Hill, he said. If he doesn't think we're doing well enough, we need to do better than that. After Tuesday's Senate hearing, ProPublica cited, which is a media outlet, a House Armed Service Committee aide who said Navy reform updates have been largely comprised of oral briefings that offered anecdotal progress. They're not even reports, ProPublica quoted the aide as saying. Yeah, the Navy. Let me tell you, the Navy is not benefiting from the Navy's not benefiting from General Mattis leaving as a SecDef. Next story. Two more stories, and then we'll take a break. Then Chris Woodbird's going to join us. Here's what damage the Lady Gulf suffered when it touched sterns with another ship. Oh, speaking of the shit show that is the Surface Navy, the guided missile cruiser Lady Gulf sustained three cracks in the starboard quarter of its fantail in a collision with another Navy vessel this month during what officials characterized was a minor incident. Look, when two ships go bump and one of them cracks, like, that's like a minor incident. Cracks were 4 to 8 inches long and have already been repaired, said U.S. Fleet Forces Command spokesman Captain Scott Miller. None of the damage affected the cruiser's structural integrity, but the warship remains at Naval Station Mayport, Florida, as a probe of the collision continues. The Lady Gulf touched sterns with the Lewis and Clark class dry cargo and ammunition vessel Robert E. Perry during a February 6 underway replenishment off the coast of Georgia. No injuries were reported, but the Perry, which is operated by Military Sealift Command, sustained a small diameter hole in the ship's hull above the waterline. The underway replenishment mishap sidelined the Lady Gulf from a training exercise meant to ready the Abraham Lincoln Carrier Strike Group for overseas deployment. The Perry has returned to Hampton Roads. Why didn't we see that? Did you see the headline? I didn't. I watch. So two more ships that are doing underway replenishment go bump. Shit show. War crimes trial of Navy SEAL postponed for 3 months. Military judges postponed the murder trial of Navy SEAL accused of fatally stabbing an Iraqi war prisoner. This is Chief Eddie Gallagher being detained in San Diego, where his court-martial is underway. A three-month delay came Wednesday after defense lawyer asked for more time to go over the prosecution's evidence. He pled not guilty to charges stemming from a 2017 deployment to Iraq. Prosecutors say he killed a teenage Islamic State fighter under his care and then held a reenlistment ceremony with the corpse. They also accused Gallagher of shooting two civilians in Iraq and firing inadvertently into crowds. Defense attorney Phil Stackhouse said his team had received more than 1,000 pages of material from the prosecution at the end of January. The trial has been reset for May 28th. So there you have it. All right, let's look at the news. We'll take a break. We come back. Chris Woodbridge supposed to be our guest this morning. So we'll talk to Woody about the February issue of the Gazette. Just saw Woody last week out here. So don't touch that dial. Hour two gets going. More of All Marine Radio next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.